mother's gonna sing it for me.
The mother's over here, mine's gone. Bees left 2 days before we left home. I buried my wife, mother. I just opened my Bible and it brought back old times. I could see Mama's teardrop upon every line. There on its pages the fragments still lay. Faded blue ribbon and a lilac bouquet. The orchids are tender and the lilies so fair. Blushing red rose could never compare. To my memories of Mommy and how she would say, thank you, my boy, for the lilac bouquet. Birds are still singing around that old home, there in the fields where I used to roam. Beneath the old tree, there's an old lonesome grave. Angels came calling for my mother one day. The orchids are tender. Never compare. In the memories of Mama and how she would say, thank you, my son, for the lilac bouquet. In the bright courts of heaven, in the beautiful home, I can see my dear mother around that white throne. From the garden in heaven, dear Mommy, someday I'll pick you another lilac bouquet. It's a tender and a lily so fair. Blushing red rose could never compare. In my memories of my mama and how she would say, thank you, my son, for the lilac bouquet. Thank you. I've changed gears so many times this evening. I like to strip my transmission. Sometimes I just don't even know what in the world to preach. Time or two, the Lord has told me, you didn't preach what I told you to. You didn't do what I told you to do. I'm going to whip you for it. I've always begged him not to whip me in the pulpit, but he sure has strapped me a few times. But I need to improve. I want to. But we're so glad to see you here, and you're so important. You are very, very, very important. I thank you for the money that you give us to preach. I just forgot about tithes quite a while ago. I just be sure that I have my tithes, offering, and alms paid, and then just go on and do something. Thank you for buying a set of tires for a car down home. It's not mine. It belongs to somebody else. I thank you for that. Thank you for helping do some things you don't know that you're doing. But we are thankful. And most all preachers I know are like that. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you. I think I'll preach on a little thought here from Amos 7 and 18. 7 and 8. I beg your pardon. Amos 7 and 8. And the Lord said unto me, and my Jesus have mercy. That's one of the greatest texts in the Bible right there. And that ain't what I'm aiming to preach on. But, and the Lord said unto me. Does he ever talk to anybody anymore? Is he still talking to people? Seem like the animals hear him pretty good. Amen. They respond to it. I know they put beepers on the grizzlies in Yellowstone where I went right after that big earthquake over there in about 50. And you know, they was trying to figure the grizzlies out, what caused them to go into hibernation at certain times. And they put beepers. They dope shot some of them and put beepers in the collars and so they could keep track of them. And they knew where their feeding grounds were. And one morning late in the year, the barometer turned to flip-flop and down things went. Here come a snow, great, giant, deep snow, and they said this will lock the park up. But the grizzlies just kept staying where they stay. They didn't head for their dens for hibernation under them tree roots and back in them banks. And they never do it just any one certain time of any year. They're better forecasters of the weather than any of the meteorologists we have. And they said the big park ranger's been there for years, said this will lock it up. It didn't. The grizzlies knew it wouldn't. And the snow melted. One day it happened again, big storm. The old grizzlies began to move. And when it snowed deep and the wind blew the snow enough to cover their tracks. And they knew it. They went into hibernation. They've never yet figured out. But he hears God. He gets a message. The old goose does. I seen some a while back. It's going south too fast. Now, it's been back a few months ago. And I seen some moving north the other day. And I said, it ain't cold enough yet to go north. They didn't pay no attention to me. They was hearing from the divine creator that made him to respond to his signal. The ass knows his owner. And the donkey knows his owner. And his master, the ox knows his owner. And the ass, his master's crib. But my people doth not know. And Israel doth not consider. And the Lord said unto me, is he talking to you? Did you ever hear God speak to you? Did you ever wake up in the night and say, it's you, Lord, I know it. When this boy's daddy was down with cancer, and that old anesthetist, 51-year-old, said, it's all over him, Mr. Moore. It's all over him. I wish I'd have never studied medicine. Your boys eat up with it. B and I began to pray right good. I mean, we went into it. I went to the old farm down below me. I didn't own it, but my relative did. And I got out in the middle of it, and I said, Lord, I'm like the old little black sister at Boley, Oklahoma, that we went to pray for, and cancer was in her body. And she said, God, this has caught me a little ways off. I said, Lord, this has caught me just a little ways off. If you'll have mercy and help me, do anything in the world you want me to do. And I meant it. Well, God healed him. But before he did, one night at that house, the hoot owls filled the trees around my house. Now, I'm a little spooky, I know it, but they haven't done it since. I've been there 30-some years, and they didn't do it before. But those hoot owls filled those trees around that house. Oh, we in the dark still night, I had to hear them, one after the other. I knew that was out of the ordinary. I'm an old woods man. I'm not smart, but that was out of the ordinary at my place. And I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something through these hoot owls? Preaching back on in Virginia, way back on that old river, and I was preaching about God's miracles, and we didn't have no air conditioning, didn't hardly have no fans. The door was open, didn't have no screen on it. Just old-timey meeting. Yeah. I was preaching about miracles, and I looked up, and here come a fella that had a built-in tail light turning it on and off as it come through the air. I said, that'd be great if we could find something to put in our ships, our airplanes, our boats that could run on that energy that don't have to have no batteries, could work the lights without a battery. Right. And that little bug has turned his light on and off all the way up the pulpit. I was preaching on miracles, and he lit on the wall right behind me. I turned around and put my finger right under it, and he crawled off on it. And I turned him around to the audience, and it seemed like I looked him right in what little eyes he had, and it seems to me, he said, you want me turned on again? And he'd flash that tail light on, you know, and he'd flash it off. I held it there long enough for everybody to see this miracle, and he just flew off the end of my finger and left out, turned his light on and off as he left.
Right.
Small matter. Seemed like a big matter to me. If we could figure that out, we'd have a source of energy we've never trapped yet. I'm not going to preach on this, but I'm stalled on it. And the word of the Lord said unto me, Amos, I'm who God talked to you. Why don't you put your name there? Why don't you have a service at Moore, Oklahoma, in that little church? And the Lord, I said, Lord, have your way. He said, why don't you let me? He embarrassed me. And me, a preacher like I am. I said, God, I will. I will let you do what you want to do. If we never have a song service, if we never do like we've done before, I'm going to let you do what you want to do.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you do what the Lord said to do? Why don't you do what the Lord said to do? The question has been asked. Answer's up to you. Why don't you do what the Lord said to do? Did you know? I know people that's been healed and blessed just over simple things that the Lord asked them to do. Nothing great. Just simple things. Simple things. I may not get to what I'm trying to get to, and I may, but the Lord said unto me, Amos, has the Lord spoke to somebody here wanting you to do something?
Come on.
Amen. Has the Lord dealt with, you know, it's hard to obey the Lord sometimes.
I was over home, and Charles Barnett had a heart attack in Indiana. Went to prayer, and the Lord said, you get up and call, and you tell him that he's going to be all right. I'm going to heal him. Well, I just got up and called, and when I called Sister Barnett, yes, I said, Charles, there, yes, said he's having another heart attack right now, Brother Moore. Well, that's why I was calling, telling him he's going to be healed. Wouldn't have none. He's having one. Well, I just stayed with it anyway. I said, you tell him, Brother Moore said God's going to heal him.
Praise God.
How you doing? You're looking good. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here. And you know what? She went in there and told him. And he grabbed a hold of that like a drowning man grabbing a hold of a lifesaver. Got up out of that, come on to Bristol a year or two later, and he got in the line. He's going to be prayed for that heart. And while he is in the line, way down the line, I had a vision. You didn't have it, I didn't. Don't worry about it. You never had one, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
No problem. No use to make one out of it.
Right.
No use trying to interview me to death, see how you can figure it out. You'll never figure it out. I saw Charles years later, well and happy. So I went to him while he was praying for us. I said, Charles, I just saw you in a vision years later, years from now, and you're preaching and you're happy. Well, they said, you know, you're getting prayed for. Not a bit! Stepped out of line. That's been 11 years ago. Was you there when we... Wasn't that wonderful how the Lord worked? He don't have to have anybody fancy to work to. Sure, that's right. He just has to have somebody that'll listen to what the Lord says. If I have done you wrong, if you have, take that if out of there. Reason you cannot have God's blessings with what you do sometime that you say is the will of God is you did not do it like He told you to do it. Now, Jimmy, if you do me wrong, son, the thing you do, now you don't owe me no apology, but you say, Brother Moore, forgive me for what I've done. That was wrong. You don't say, now, if I've done anything, if nothing. That if can cause you not to be blessed there. Well, I'm going to go back to my message if I can get to it, but right now I'm preaching on and the Lord said. Why don't you live like the Lord said to live? Why don't you live like the Lord said to live? The question has been asked. Answer's up to you. Why don't you do what the Lord said to do? Oh, it's not as easy done as it sounds like, but you can do it. The Lord said, Amos, what seest thou? I said a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. In the high places of Isaac shall be desolate. The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise up against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, saying, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land's not able to bear all his words. You can't stand that kind of preaching. For Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die with a sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Folks don't like to be told things like that, Amos. If you was here, Amos, in the day we're in, you'd have to say that New York City is going to burn down. You'd have to say the concrete jungles that we have built will all crumble. You'd have to say that John could have meant when he slapped his thigh and saw the great kings of the earth slapping his thigh and say, Babylon is fallen. You could have been talking about America. You have to say things like that, Amos.
Oh, yeah.
The friend of everybody. Helped everybody. Had earthquakes and hurricanes and cyclones. Well, he got into it over his preaching. Amos said, Jeroboam's going to die by the sword. Well, that's what he's going to do. And Israel will be led captive. Well, that's what they're going to do. Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and preach over there where they don't need it. You know, folks just get aggravated at preachers because they preach the gospel to them, and sometimes it cuts a gwine and a coming. I heard no more preach on sanctification one day, and Lord God Almighty help us, it's the Bible's full of it. Starts before you get saved and stays on until you die. Starts before you get saved, works before you get the Holy Ghost, and after you get the Holy Ghost. By the blood, by the truth, by the word, whoo, sanctification, one of the deepest subjects in the world. You got all of it? No, you ain't got all of it either. No, sir. It's too deep for one fellow to get all of it. Old boy told me he got all at once, root, lock, stock, barrel, and everything's gone. I seen him get so mad he could fight nearly. And I wasn't mad at him because he got mad, but I know he didn't get all he said he got when he said he got. Well, have mercy. I'm not going to preach on sanctification because ain't too many folks got a big bunch of it. You couldn't stir them up over it. I'd like to have more of it, and I believe in it, and I honor it, and I respect it, and I think you'll be clean before you get the Holy Ghost through, but you're going to get full sanctification after you get that. Have mercy. Great God, have mercy. Go preach what you're going to preach over yonder where they don't need it. No wonder it used to get tight in what we called our Pentecostal meetings. You could have a fella sitting there and beat his bills and wouldn't pay him and wouldn't pay who he owed and shout and testify and still. And first thing you know, here'd come Mooneyham or somebody. Didn't know nothing about it. The Lord would say, you preach what I tell you. Woo! I have actually preached where there was not only no amens, there wasn't even any noises. You know why? God was talking to people. And I've been there when we reap the benefits of that. I'm not talking about wildfire fanaticism, speaking against, preaching against chewing gum, neckties, soda, pop, coffee. Lord God have mercy. If you ain't got no more than that to preach, go pray through. We got to have the gospel to set men free. That ain't what he told folks to go preach. Amen. But I've been there when they broke over and come out in the aisle and grabbed one another and said, forgive me, I've done you wrong. I had my heart against you and I've not done right about it. Will you talk about a revival breaking out? It'll do it. I've been there when the old boy said, I'm going to pay that I owe. I've done wrong here and I've kept this hid. Nobody knows this, but I thought I'd get away with that, but God's called my number and I'm going to fix it, and it helped the church. You talk about a church shouting, you get one living good, and you're going to have a shouting time. And there are a lot of good folks here, and you know I know that. And I just preach what I preach, not because you need it so bad, but you may need it later. Amos, you go preach somewhere else. Eat your bread and preach down there. Why? You know, that's what some folks think now. All a preacher needs to do is eat bread and preach. Well, God help. If I ain't no more valuable than that, I go back to oil field welding. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Don't preach where it's needed. I like to see old boys go up 1,000 miles from home, get up and preach what they ought to have been preaching home 2 years before. Amen? Whew! I see a mean to try it now. I can tell it. I'm pulling up something pretty close, sir, and you're wondering what I'm going to do with it. Shout yourself clear out of a sick bed when you decide in your heart, I'll do what God said to do. We prayed for one old mother dying. We prayed and prayed and prayed for her, trying to get her healed. Her sinner brother walked in up to that bed and said, you fix that crooked land deal before you die. Well, I thought he was just a mad sinner brother. No, he wasn't. He was telling that mother laying there sick, that old mother, we were begging God to heal every day and night to fix that deal. You fix that deal before you die. If there's going to be a judgment and only the saved is going to go to heaven, only those that have their name written in the book of life, and we're going to have to fix it here, don't be afraid to fix it. I'll go with you. If you've got something you can't go by yourself, I'll go with you. I'll tell him he's come to fix it. He's come to straighten her out. He's come to do right. She's come. All right, that's not my message. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just don't feel like you're all crooked. But don't preach at Bethel. For it's the king's chapel and it's the king's court. You're not supposed to say anything at the king's chapel or the king's court. I don't like to have to do that either. The last two fellows that run for governor of the state of Oklahoma, one of them sued the other. They called each other things that wasn't good at all, and both went to the same church. And if both of them is guilty of what the other accused them of, they ought to both be in jail right now. And after the one got it, the other still sued him. And just a week before I left, after being in office for months, finally dismissed the charges against the governor. Now I'm knocking, but don't preach at the king's chapel or the king's court. Why in the world we ought to have to meet with any nation on earth and make any kind of apology because we won't drink that rot gut. We won't drink that stuff that makes you an idiot. Won't drink that stuff that makes you dangerous. Won't drink that stuff that makes you puke on your own clothes and lay in your own vomit. don't know why we can't say, we are a Christian nation, we are a religious nation, we believe in God, real drink water. Daniel wouldn't do it. He wouldn't take the king's wine or the king's bread. God blessed him. I'm going to get back to my text here in a minute, but don't preach at the king's chapel or the king's court. When they haul me and them other preachers in to arrest us, put us in jail for preaching in Oklahoma City on the streets without a permit, while the Salvation Army people could beat their drums and play the tambourines and take offerings in them tambourines anytime they wanted to, and I'm not against them. But why couldn't we? Because we did not have a permit. Where do we get one, sir? Well, there's no one here, nowhere here. How in the world can you prosecute a man for not having something that he cannot obtain? Well, we won. We won. Hallelujah. Don't preach it here. Sister Hootendozel is here. And in her will, she said she'd leave the church at $500,000. We know she's been cooking at a snake and dead, but we need the money. And that's all we'll have, too, is that money. And it'll witness against us after a while because we didn't walk with God. I don't know what in the world I'm doing. Brother L.L., I don't understand, but probably somebody told boy from Florida needs this. I don't know. But we're in the end time. It's a crooked time. It's an evil time. Any preacher that can preach continually and never preach against evil, there's something wrong with it. I've got great preacher friends. Don't preach it here, Amos. What seminary did you come from, Amos? Where did you graduate? Now, I'm not knocking, boys. You know that. No harm to know something. There's no, my daughter knows spookies. All my mother's people know it was spookies. There's nothing wrong with going to college. That is, if you're willing to learn something when you get out. There's no harm in having some sense. Hallelujah. Where did you come from, Amos? Who taught you how to preach? If you ever obey God like He wants you to, you'll behave yourself wisely in a perfect way, and you'll try to make a fool out of yourself, but you will not be able to stay with Haley's book or any other thing you've learned about pulpit etiquette when God gets a hold of you just right. Use some sense. Use all the manners you've got. Why, I even got to where now, if they've got any of them things you stick in the end of them corn cobs. I went to preaching place and a little fellow twisted in and said, I just can't eat corn if you don't have some of those things you put in it to hold it, to roll it. I want to say, why don't you try to talk like a man? Take some voice lessons in bass. In bass. I told that lady, if you'll turn me in on that corn, me and LL can mold that stuff off of there with a 16-penny nail stuck in the end of it or nothing. Yeah. Where'd you come from, Amos? You didn't have a priest robe when you come in here. He didn't act like the rest of us when you got here. Said, where'd you come from? He said, I was no prophet. I was not a prophet's son. And I was a herdman and a gathered sycamore fruit. Up there in the tree limbs, up there gathering that, and the Lord took me as a father to flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people, Israel. Yeah. I will forget that old boy I met on Oklahoma. I went to school with. I used to be rather crooked. I was a little crooked. Before I got saved, I was rather crooked. I got saved and met my old boyfriend. I said, what are you doing, bootlegging? He said, yeah. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching. Preaching! He wished he never had told me. Never dreamed I'd be a preacher. Never had any plans to be a preacher. Aimed to be a boxer. And then decided I'd make a governor. I was running the business for us. Way before I was old enough to even be qualified to get a driver's license. I ain't smart. I just raised work. Worked 42 hours a week. Went to school every day. I was 14 years old. Took my brother to drive a lot, put him under Model A seat. My dad in the hospital 6 months. Took mother to see him. We was on poverty's row. I had shoes so big, I stopped. The shoes stopped and I kept going. I'm not trying to be funny, children. I'm just born that way. But I'm telling you what, them shoes are so big, I could run and stop and my feet would slide on when the shoes got stopped. Big old bag of britches give to me. Would you raise poor L.L.? Woo!
bless your heart, children. Maybe I'll say something worthwhile. You'll go home saying, what in the world kind is this? But I wasn't a prophet. Great God have mercy for the sake of the world, from one of them. But when I went to school, Miss Redwine, my speech arts teacher, me as mean as a snake, she said, Lester, one day you will do a work in this life. And if I've done anything to offend you, would you forgive me? I said, what in the world is she talking about? Had not the slightest idea. But God called me. Did you ever meet somebody that said God called him? I met one. I took him. He was a free will Baptist, and I took him down to Cement, Oklahoma. We call it concrete, but it's cement on the map down there. I took him on a street service with me out to preach on a Saturday. Everybody went to town, the whole town full of people. I jumped out there on the street corner with him, and he said, yes, I'll go. And got him out there, and looked down that street. Would you listen, good people, now to what I've got to say? We've been living in a mighty evil day, and it seems that men won't hear the word of the Lord. Sung a little while. Turned the service to him, and he said, I'll tell you, praise the Lord. Thank God, said, amen. Jesus, glory. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, amen. Glory to God. Jesus died. Amen, glory. He said, now turn back to Brother Moore. Power of God come upon me. I wasn't a prophet or a prophet's son. Wasn't even qualified. Didn't have no registration papers or ordination papers or nothing. All I could say when it said, why are you preaching? God Almighty called me to go. All I could say. Got him in the car and started home. He said, don't you got mad, Brother Huff. Don't you ever in the world do me like this again. Very idea of taking me in the car and taking me out here and I can't say nothing. You get up and preach like a ball of fire. And me can't do nothing. Said, don't you dare do it. He got mad at me. I was grinned at him. He come to church while we was at and used tobacco. Had the tobacco habit. Said, I'm coming down and be prayed for. Get loose, Mr. Backer. God sanctified him, got him loose in that. He said, I don't believe in the Holy Ghost like you do. Now, I said, I don't believe in that like you do. Well, you don't just have to fuss about it. Well, pray about it. He said, that's what I'll do. Prove you wrong. I'll pray about it. I was off down there at Haskell, Oklahoma, preached a meeting. That's where that man shot the other to death right in front of him. He preached on Romans 1 right on a little Masco PA system hooked to a car battery. Shot the man down, preaching on that very thing. I said, here's happening right now, right in front of us. Blue smoke flew out of the end of that 38 killed him right there, right in front of me. Haskell, Oklahoma. Wilma, Haskell, Oklahoma. You remember that? You may not remember, but that's what happened at Haskell, Oklahoma, when I preached right there on the street, shot him down right in front of me. You know what? Went out there one Saturday. And here come that big old 6'2" across Main Street, 150 miles down there to see me. Stopped me in the middle of Main Street. And instead of waiting until we got the curb, he grabbed me. Said, I've got the Holy Ghost in four with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, Brother Moore. I prayed too on a Sunday morning. I was trying to pray that out of existence and it come upon me. And God knocked me flat on my back and I had to ask him to help me up. Never could get up in my own strength. Talked in tongues all the way home. Never got the English language back till I started to eat dinner. Free Will Baptist. Somebody told me they got it when they got saved. I said, you think the mother Jesus was saved? Yeah, I said, be sure. Well, will you tell me what she was doing that with them when they got it? He never did fight it no more. Free Will sold him out. He'd been a preaching 30-something years where he's at. And he's prayed for folks and they've been healed and saved and blessed. And I drove his 92 Lincoln the other day. I drove with him. It ain't ruined him to preach. I ain't going to get to preach my text. I can see that. I may say a little bit about it before I quit, but I ain't announced it yet. I had a text, a thought. The Lord took me as a father of the flock and said, go prophesy to my people Israel. You know, some folks have got their language so full of Greek and Latin and Hebrew and what have you, the folks can't understand what they're talking about anyway. And like that old boy when I preached that funeral the other day, he was pretty straight-laced. Sitting in his church and the body in front of me, he looked at my hair and said, L.D., what are you putting on your hair? He is serious. I said, H2O. I knew he didn't know what it was. And he didn't want me to know that he didn't know, so he dropped the subject.
Huh? Hallelujah. Go prophesy to my people, Israel. Don't talk in Spanish. Huh? Go talk to them Israelites about the Hebrew God that got the world in His hand. The Hebrew God that got the world in His hand. They'll understand you if you preach to them about the Hebrew God that brought them out.
Oh, prophesy. You don't have to worry about having words so big folks can't understand them.
That old boy one day, and he heard about a boomerang. He said, I think I'll add that to my preaching, Brother Moore. That sounds like a big word. I believe he must have seen the boomerang on him a little.
Jonah, when you finally get out of the whale's belly, you just need 8 words to get that whole bunch saved. Got out there and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Who's that old boy? Raking the seaweeds out of his hair when he come up here. I don't know where he's been. Skin all wrinkled and galled up like he's been shut up in a dark dungeon somewhere. It's damp in there. Look at him. Sand still on his clothes. Looks like he just crawled off the sandbar. Well, he did. That's where the whale belched him out. He wrecked seaweeds out of his hair and dusted the sand off his knees and headed for Nineveh. That's right. Isn't that strange how God's directing our attention right back to where Abraham came from? That's where our troop was right over there by Nineveh. Isn't that strange how... You know what's going to end where it started? Greatest war that you ever heard. Don't you believe all these folks saying they're laying all that stuff down? They'd like for us to lay all ours down. Get us to lay ours down. Strange, we're right back where civilization started. That's where it's going to end, right over there. Well, that's Brother Moore's opinion. Yeah, I've got a little scripture about that. You preach what I give you to them. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Without a song, without a special, without an introduction, without a choir, with no one to help you. Get up there and preach it. I'm going to tell you one thing. I love all this. You know how I love this great thing. And this horn blowing, my Jesus, I mean, we have some of the greatest talent here that ever was. I'm going to tell you one thing, children. When men can't preach it no longer, that angel flying through the heaven having the everlasting gospel to preach, will preach it. That's what gets them saved. I question an experience that's gotten because of a song. I did not say you could not get saved and under conviction because somebody sings. But unless you are begotten by that gospel, it better be a pretty good song. We're begotten by that gospel. Jesus said, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what makes men scream out under great preachers of old and fall in the soda style, that preaching of God's Bible. No, I'm not talking about opinions like Brother Moore has. Some of them he could do well to shed. But I mean that everlasting word. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of spirit and soul and joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's what Jonah had. Preached it on First and Main. Fellow said, I ain't never heard nobody do that kind of talking in this town. Where's he headed? Says, going on down to the next corner. Well, let's follow him down there and see what he does down there. Got down there. Cleared his throat and squared away again. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Whoo! Hit him right in the heart. Convicted him of their sin. Well, you know the story. Hit 120,000. Got saved over it. But you prophesy somewhere else and don't talk here. Don't preach here. You know what I just read to you? I will not again pass by anymore. And that's what I thought I'd deal with you a little bit about tonight. The last chance. The last opportunity. If I'd have known some things already myself that I found out in certain circumstances amongst the churches I've traveled in and preached far and with, I'd have rung some phones. I'd have made some stops. If I'd have known that's the last chance that you're going to have. Listen, boys. 16, 15, 14, 13, 12. On up, we've laid them away. Men that sat in the audience, just like you are, planning to make a change. After a while, I'll do it. I'm going to get up the nerve one day to get do what I feel like I know I need to do. I'm going to take care of my soul's need. But God passed by the last time. And the next thing we had was word They're cold in death. I preached a man in my little church that right back there on the right. He loved to hear me sing my little jerky song. He loved to hear me sing, I Saw the Light. Roy sings it yet, and he's an old man, but I sang, I Saw the Light. No more darkness. He just loved it. He just ate it up. Made me feel like a professional. Of course I ain't, but he made me feel like one. He'd brag on it. Wasn't old. He's young like you are. Called me, said, he's dead, Brother Moore. No. No, I said, he can't be dead. He comes with his family all the time. Picture a man that didn't look like he'd die. Went to the hospital. His body just been rolled off in another room, a sheet over it. I said to that man in the hospital, I want to go in there and look at him. No, 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 no. Calm down, my brother. Calm down, preacher man. Son, I said, I ain't nothing there to start with. I said, I'm at myself. I'm not going to go and tear that room up. I'm not going to go in there and jerk that body off there. I said, I want to look at it. Oh, well, he said that. He took me in and took the cover off his head. I stood and looked at him. And you're dead. And you're gone. And you meant to pray through. You lied to me. And you meant to pray. I will not again pass by anymore. That's the last trip I'm going to make to. In the eighth chapter of that same book, he mentioned the same thing again in the 12th verse. And said, I will not again pass by anymore. You know, there's some folks we take for granted, and we just look for them back. Come back next year. Get back for Christmas. Just old friends. Where I just come from over here, this young man church, preaching homecoming. There's an old boy there, drives straight down to Oklahoma all the time to see Johnny Romine. They're there every Risto meeting, and they're there once, twice during the year. And him and Johnny, them two families, they just, they're like two peas in a pod. And they ain't even no kin to each other. They just go see each other and travel around together and enjoy being together. Not coming by anymore. I'll never forget the day of the call, and I was over at Dad's house the day before. He'd been sick, but he's been a great horse of a man. He couldn't go to the hospital or nothing. He'd been one trip, and he didn't go back. I was there, and it seemed like I thought I ought to stay. I was supposed to meet a fellow the next morning down at the house about a situation, and I was going to go back to Dad's the next evening. I got home on the phone run the next morning. He said, Lester? Yeah, I said, Roy's dead. Roy. We got a boy here named Roy, I think. Yes, sir. He said, Roy's dead. I said, no. Not my daddy. Yeah. I said, well, I'll be up there in a little bit. You ever sang that silver-haired daddy of mine? If I could erase all the heartaches, dear old daddy have called you to bear. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring back the gold to your heart. Last pass, boys, girls, there could be well someone right here tonight. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but it's happened. Over and over again with us preachers, it's happened. You're here, and today as I prayed and rolled and prayed and sought God, I'm just a little far off sometimes to understand what he's trying to do in a meeting. But he just kept saying, I will not again pass by anymore. I will not come by anymore. Oh, if we'd have known that's the last trip sometime, we'd have took more time with Mama than we did, wouldn't we? Oh, we'd have took more time with Daddy and sister and brother. If we'd have known that's the last pass, God said, you tell him, Amos, I put that plumb line in there. And I'm not passing by no more. He said, I'm gonna bring trouble on them, but I ain't coming to help them. Did you notice here in the book of Luke, the 13th chapter and the 22nd verse, he went through cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Didn't have no good car. Didn't even have an animal to ride because part of the time. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, and you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, God still ain't just taking anything. Amen. 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 Oh, no. He ain't just taking anything. Strive. You know what that means, don't you? When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, you begin to stand without and to knock at the door. Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer, saying to you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. We rub shoulder with you and eat with you. Let us in. That ain't the reason to get in. Oh, it's so great to have folks come to fellowship meetings and talk and laugh and enjoy themselves. Have you frequented the altar since you've been here? The main purpose is to get you spiritual assistance. They had missed the main thing. He was so mannerly. I've been so short on manners. I watched men. I drove up when men opened the door for the wife to get out of the car. I said, I wish I'd have thought of that before Dee got out. I'm going to fool her one of these days if I can ever think of that. I'm going to sail around that car and get that door handle, open it before she can get a hold of it. And I'm going to wait till she gets back in and shut it when she gets in, L.L. I never think of that till she's done in and the door shut and I'm sitting beside her. I say, I never did. He was very mannerly. He was not a smart aleck. He did not take advantage of people. And he had ate with them and talked with them and been with them. And they like, I know a sinner man. I'd meet him and he'd grab me and hug me. And I got sick and bad sick and stayed sick. And he heard about an old Earl. He's the one when I was driving down the road one day in front of his business, the spirits had stopped. Well, I knowed when it had stopped. I stopped and went in there. Earl, I said, do you owe you anything? He said, not a thing, L.D. I said, you know me anything? He said, not a thing, L.D. I said, did you ever have anybody stop Earl Brown and say they loved you? Just an old boy look you right in the eyeball and say, I love you, Earl! He said, I'll say he never had it happen in my life. It's happening now, Earl! But he's unsaved. Daddy, mother, he ain't going to keep on passing by. Now, you may not be here lost, but this message I'm talking about is definitely for somebody that ought to frequent this altar and get straight with God. Whew. Ain't going to come by no more. We meet with you. You've been in our place. You've been in our home. Yeah, but this is different here. You didn't accept the gospel. You didn't pray through. You didn't get right. And now it's too late and the door shut. They said, we've eaten drank you for that. That's right. They called him a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, and he was. He said, I don't know who you are. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself such a heart of meeting. We are fixing to have a jubilee. Won't that be a hallelujah meeting when we step on the other side? Saints of old, standing there to greet us and to welcome us across the tide. We'll clasp glad hands together, go marching on through that land. When you think it's just about ended, it'll happen all over again. We're going to have a time. Nobody can get in if they're not saved. I don't care how long you paid tithes. I don't care how perfect your Sunday school attendance is. If you're not saved, you can't get in. It's over. All evangelists is called off the field. All the pastors is called off the field. All the singers is called off the field. All the folks that work for Jesus is called off the field. We're gathered together for the great jubilee. We're going to have the marriage supper pretty quick, and the Lamb's going to come forth and serve us. Won't we have a time when we get over yonder? Hallelujah! Can't hardly wait for it! I'll have everlasting life. Never have another pain. Never know another sorrow. Never another heartache. Never another bill. Not going to pass by. Won't be no preacher have no burden to go nowhere to hold no more revival. It'll all go. They're going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south. Be more people alive than you are Democrats in Oklahoma. Amen. Be more people out than all Democrats and Republicans put together. Amen. You think God ain't have nobody in heaven? More than any man could number. They could count up to quite a bit back in the old time in the Bible. Yeah, they could count away up there. John said, I saw a number. No man could number. Yeah, but he's passed by the last time. You know, I believe I've lived long enough to tell you I've been in some communities where it looked like you passed through the last time. Now he's going to make his last pass. Get up and shut the door. There's a land of pure delight over there where faith is lost in sight. Over there, there'll be Moses to be seen. I'll know him just as far as I can see. I'll know him as far as I can see. As soon as I see Moses, I'll say, there's Brother Moses. No Elijah the minute I see him. No Abraham. Oh, I love to. Whew, mercy, I don't know how he'll ever let me in there, but won't that be a time happy Bill, glory to God. Get to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whee! There'll be Moses to be seen, viewing fields of living green. Mary will beat the tambourine over there. Who's that on tambourine? That's Mary. Mary on the tambourine. James and John, the sons of thunder, will be there. We shall all be filled with wonder over there. Every race and every tribe will be there, as John described, standing by the riverside over there. But my thought tonight is, I will not again pass by anymore. I've always liked pretty good clothes. I ain't had that many good clothes, but I like good clothes. Everybody got any sense likes good clothes. But it ain't good clothes. It makes you ready. You may pity yourself because you cannot make money like other folks make, children. It's not how much money you can make. Amen. You may be like that old preacher boy down home who used to holler, "Hallelujah to God!" But he was saved. He's fixed it so the rich and the poor, the educated, the uneducated, can have his salvation and be ready to die. Be ready to die. What are you going to do when death comes creeping in your room? I've been there when love and life and death were there. What are you going to do when death comes creeping in your room? I like to take them by the hand. Death's right on them. Christians say, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Pardon me, that's a little loud, but I get loud sometimes. Gonna pass by the last time. Last chance. It comes to everybody, you know, after a while. That's all of it. Ain't no more of it. Who am I talking to tonight? Are you here? If you're not, I may have missed it. I have done it. But I will not again pass by. You're not going to wind up like this fellow did, are you? Follow peace with all men. That's a good thing to do. All of them. Don't try to have a fight out of some of them. Wholeness without which no man shall see the Lord. You got to have some wholeness now. I don't care what you say you are. You got to have some wholeness. I believe through that while, you may do like that fellow did in Denton, Texas, in my tent meeting. I preached there 2 or 3 years in tent meetings. You know what he done? He cried a pool of tears on the altar in my meeting. Night after night. He said, "When I was at war, Brother Moore, I promised God everything. In World War II, if you bring me home again, I'll do anything in the world." God heard it. God answered it. Spared him. He said, "I come home, I didn't do anything I told God to do. And the years have come and gone, and I've sowed wild oats, and I didn't obey God, and I've sinned. And now I'm praying, and I can't find him." Oh, I don't give up. I said, don't give up. Night after night after night, after many nights of it, he raised up from the altar and looked at me and said, "It's too late. It's too late." I had to leave him like that. I said, "I can't find him. I will not again pass by anymore." Preacher, make all altar calls he wants to. But if God passes by you his last time and his spirit leaves you, there ain't nothing I can do to get you here. Amen? Not a thing I can do. You feel the Spirit. Look, if I were you tonight and I had convictions about anything I felt like might be sin in my life, and don't take me wrong, I'm not trying to create sin that's not there, no sir. But if you have any conviction from God that there's some sin in there, and tonight you feel a little prick in your heart from God's Spirit saying, frequent that altar tonight. Go down there, pour out your heart while he's passing by. While we stand, I want to ask somebody to play a little music or sing, and I want to make an invitation tonight. My simple little thought has been, I shall not again pass by anymore. He's going to quit. After a while, you won't be bothered with it. After a while, you won't be convicted about it. And after a while, you won't worry about it. It'll be gone. All right. While we have someone volunteer, somebody, sister, whatever, do what you feel. But look, while we linger, let's stay our minds on the Lord just a little. I just felt a scene, and perhaps that I should try to deal with the lost right here. People need to pray and get saved, get right with God. Somebody's a backslider. Somebody needs to get up close. All right. Would you give me your attention? All right. Sing if you'd like to, sister. What are you going to do? I invite your attention. Would you step out if you feel God dealing with you? Would you be willing to just say, "I'm going down to that altar. I don't care what anybody thinks. And it don't matter. We're not worried about what people think. That ain't what we're trying to do. We're facing God. We're not facing people." Would you like to come? I will not again pass by anymore. Made my last trip. I don't want that to happen to you. I've been where it happened. I don't want to happen to you. If you're here tonight, you need God, would you step out? Would you, of your own accord, just say, "I'm coming down"? I'm coming down. I'm going to seek the Lord. Saints, maybe some of you step out a little. It might make it a little easier for them if you step out. You lead the way for them. Maybe somebody back there will say, well, I'll follow them down. It could be. God bless your hearts. We're certainly glad to be with you tonight. And we're pleading with you. If you feel the Lord touching your heart, you feel God dealing with you, would you come? Would you come? God knows you. You know your own condition. Don't let it pass
There's
by.
A line by man.
Come on. Will you join us in this altar tonight? Will you join us in this altar tonight? Will you join us? Will you listen to the Lord? You don't have to be old. You don't have to be old for the Lord to pass by a lifetime. Death take you away. Death take you. Not be prepared. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Come and pray tonight. Come and pray.